Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Wrestling, it is weird and it's crazy, and I really love wrestling. I think it's the wrong memories. It was beautiful, not well, then, yeah. But now. 2000s, they were really quite rough. And now the women are people. Then wrestling is fun.
I think it's beautiful. I think Elaine Page is somewhere, just she knows it. She felt a stirring in her heart.
I have the snot bubble, yeah, much well, like Jay Hunt.
No, I can't. That's gross.
Someone told me it was CGI'd snot, and I was like, no, baby.
No,
that's practical.
Someone commits.
Someone Viola Davis their way through that song. Anyway, welcome to Tights and Fights. I swear I can actually sing. The show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that deserves. I am the rum tum hugger. I do not read these before I say them. I am joined today by fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Princess Jella Kelk. Yes.
Yes.
Lindsay Kelk.
This is Julian's peak of achievement. I'm the Jella Kelk choice.
You are. Lindsay, would you like to watch me make the Jella Kelk choice?
I would love to.
This is now a cat's podcast, and there's nothing we can do about it. And our special guest, he is the producer for the Uncanny Attraction Wrestling Promotion in Brooklyn and host of the Pro Wrestling Mothership podcast. It's Darnell Sellwell and Ring the Bell Mitchell. Welcome to Tights and Fights, Darnell. I'm so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. I love your podcast. I love all of your faces.
Aww,
so this is,
we love your face.
This is pretty exciting.
Maybe
so,
your angelical choice.
I mean...
Oh, I don't know Cats.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
well,
fair. I mean, but you should go see Cats. It is a train wreck and it's delightful.
I can't see it because my brother, who is also queer, loved Andrew Lloyd Webber as a kid. So... I know the songs, and it's really frustrating because he played it relentlessly. That Phantom of the Opera.
What a gift he gave to you.
And the Technicolor thing.
Oh, yeah. Jezebel's Technicolor Dreamcoat. Mm-hmm. I can sing it from start to finish if you'd rather do that for today.
No. I promise you, Cats is like wrestling in that it's just a bunch of cats coming in and cutting promos about themselves and why they should win the championship.
Yeah. Cats is wrestling.
Cats is wrestling.
That's why it's so magnificent.
And it has Idris Elba in it, so that's kind of...
And he's basically naked. He's a naked cat. It's my friend I went with yesterday was very alarmed.
It's alarming.
He was like, why do I feel horny about this? I'm like, because Idris Elba's naked.
Idris Elba.
And he's dancing with naked Taylor Swift, and it's all very confusing. But that's why it's wrestling.
Oh, the cats
anyway.
And cats have titties. So we're going to get into recent wrestling happenings, and we're going to definitely talk about your experience as a fan, because that's something that we always do with new members of the Nation of Conversation. But first... tell us about Uncanny Attraction.
So I am one of the producers of Uncanny Attractions. It's a company based out of Brooklyn, New York. We run out of House of Yes, the legendary House of Yes.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing.
Wait, seriously? How did I not know that? I'm not great.
Yeah, right. It's myself, Michael Young, or people might know him as the wrestler, MV Young, and Lynn Fryley. Lynn is fucking phenomenal. She is one of the original producers of Coachella. She's done Super Bowl halftime shows. You know, Michael told her about this idea and they started working together and they brought me on. We are an all-inclusive. We like to say all-inclusive. I like to say queer, but whatever. We're an all-inclusive wrestling company. Like
queer, 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 queer.
Yeah. At least 50% of our roster is queer. We try to also make sure that we have as many women and people of color as humanly possible on our show. We want our shows to represent what the world looks like. I don't want to continuously see like white dudes with black tights on. It's not really interesting.
You're so crazy. Look at you and your wild ideas.
Just like black tights and like a black shirt with like an emblem on them. Like, good for you. You tried.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're edgy.
Even the heterosexual cis men that we do have on our show, I think are still... interesting. There's something different about them. Like, for example, we have our April 2nd show, 11 p.m. in Tampa. RJ City's on our show for the first time ever. Like,
Friend of the pod.
He's not a
Love
normal
him.
Cis boy.
No.
So he stands out, you know. So we try to like have interesting stuff because it's, I think one thing that wrestling forgets is that it's fucking ridiculous and it needs to be fun. Let's have fun at
yes,
the show.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, I'm going to do this now, like to just get it done and over with, because I know I want to tell you about the April 2nd, 11 p.m. show, Tampa, Southern Nights, legendary gay venue. Yes. I'm going to make an announcement. Is that okay?
Ooh,
yes, please.
Yes.
Exclusive.
Yay.
Exclusive.
So, well, we're going to slowly start announcing matches. I'm going to announce someone who is going to be on our show, who's been on our previous shows, but he hasn't been on our last show. And there's a reason why, because he was hired by AEW. I can officially announce that Sunny Kiss, yes, will be
Yay!
On our show.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. That's amazing.
That's so fun. Yeah.
April 2nd, Tampa, Florida. Come out.
Yeah.
Oh, we just I think that we just had our first exclusive.
It's very exciting.
It feels
Danielle,
weird.
Don't cry. It's okay. This is good news.
You know
I
what?
I cry at everything.
I'm gonna get in trouble, but I'm gonna do it. Let's announce the main event.
Do
no
it.
One else knows
Let's
this.
Do it.
Do it.
It will be Sunny Kiss versus Effie in the main
no!
event.
No!
On the
Are you
fucking
me
a ticket?
Kidding me?
This is in Tampa? Planes fly
yes,
to Tampa, but get me on a plane.
It's very damp.
I mean, and I don't like.
I'm from England.
Yeah,
I'm from Seattle. I think damp
the
is.
The thing is that I don't enjoy about Florida is the alligators. Is it alligators or crocodiles? I don't know which one, but
Are
I'm not keen on either.
Are booked on that show?
Is there one on the show?
I actually had to think about it for a second.
I will accept a wrestling dinosaur, but I'm not gonna get. I'm not fucking with a wrestling alligator or crocodile.
Oh no,
no.
There's no alligators. We are kind of our vibe is very Miami Vice '80s throwback.
Then I already have the outfit, and I will see you there.
Yep,
it's gonna
be really
fun.
Of
now strongly.
It's gonna be really good.
About saving up money so I can actually
go. Exciting.
We'll talk about this
later. We'll talk about this later.
We'll talk about this on.
But thank you. Congratulations. That's incredible.
That is a great lineup. What are you talking
thank
about?
You. There's so many other people that we have kind of in the back of our pocket. There's another person that we're working out, and I really hope she can make it because I think it would be her second show ever in America.
Oh, my.
So this Ooh. Should be really, really good. There's a lot of cool stuff that that is happening. And again, we want our shows to be different than everyone else's shows. Like, you can go see Bloodsport, which is different, but which is amazing. But, like, you know, we want some fun. We want some vibrancy. We want
we
some
do.
Happiness.
Absolutely.
Wrestling shows are just so fucking, like, dour. Like, why are you so...
It's like, whenever they're sitting in the ring so staring serious? At each other that way, I'm like, do you guys know you're in your underwear? Do you guys know you're in your underwear and people are cheering for you?
I think the young lady who's doing drag for us, I think she said she was like, oh, can I wear roller skates? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Like, everyone wear roller skates?
Oh, yes, my God. One
told,
day.
Inspiration, I said, I want Glow Las Vegas is the inspiration for the show. So be as happy, crazy, fun as possible. And yeah, that's what
me
fucking
me and Lindsay just got
candy.
So wet, we slid off of our chairs.
Yeah, it's all over. We're laid on the floor now, just screaming into the microphone.
It's a problem. Okay, so we have a couple questions again. We ask the same questions for people when they come on because we really want to know, what is your experience as a wrestling fan? What was your first thing that made you go, like, this is the thing that I love forever?
So my first wrestling show or anything I ever saw was in 1996, January. It's the Royal Rumble. My stepfather at the time, like, took my brother and I there. He was like, we're going to our friend's house and you're going to watch wrestling. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. But I was really into comic books. I don't remember the show at all. But I remember seeing Undertaker being like, oh, this is a comic book.
Oh, my God. I had the same experience when I first started watching it. Absolutely.
And then I don't remember the February show, but then I saw that WrestleMania. And there are three things I remember from that show that kind of solidified my, oh, yeah, you're a wrestling fan now. One was Goldust. Even though he was the bad guy, him being kind of queer when I knew at that time, I had already knew that I was gay, was really interesting to me because I it was weird to see some sort of type of representation, even though he really wasn't on TV at that time.
No, even problematic representation at the time was like, at least there's like something that's for me.
Yeah, they're calling you bad names, but like, your hair looks great. So, that's actually also the debut of Sable, if people remember. She was the valet for Triple H because he wrestled Ultimate Warrior. And I was like, who is this young lady in this evening gown? Because I'm obsessed. And then it was Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Iron Man. And then I was like, oh yeah, I really am gay.
That's funny. That's about when I knew I was straight. Like, oh, hello.
Like 1996, 1997, Shawn Michaels, like, whew. Like, oh.
Oh, who boy.
Sunny days, sunny days. Like, yeah.
He had not lost his smile.
Hard for me, because, like, Sable, like a certain era of Shawn Michaels.
But yeah, I was like, this, I fuck with this. This is interesting. This is different. And so I was kind of hooked on ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so like you were a fan, obviously, like all of us are, but now you're a promoter, which is like three steps farther than being a fan. So what is that like to go from being a fan to now you have to like, you have to book matches, like you have the book. Like, how does that feel?
Really, really frustrating. I love it so much, but I hate it at the same time because you, as a person who loves alcohol, I have to be very careful because I'm the king of getting drunk and messaging people. But now it's like I'm messaging wrestlers and I'm like, yeah, I'll book you on this show. Not realizing, oh, wait, can I book them on this show?
Oh, no. You can't slide into DMs when you're a promoter.
I know.
What is the aftermath of that like?
There was a match for this this show, and I was like, fuck, I did tell you that. I was like, I do want you on a show. All right, so I had to change a match to add them to the show.
This
I was like,
is how,
I'm going to get you on. I
this
swear.
Is how we end up with an over-the-budget battle royal. This is how these things
exactly.
happen. Do we think Cody this was just wrecked when he was booking that AEW show? Like one too many cognacs.
This is exactly what happens because you're just sort of like, it's weird because I have a lot of friends in wrestling and I want them to be booked. I love them and I feel they're very, very talented. So it's just kind of like, yes, I'm going to book you as much as possible. But you have to be really, really careful about that because, you know, I also want to make sure that fans feel safe at our show. I want to make sure that we have the right wrestlers for the draw. I also want to make sure that we have wrestlers that are quote unquote up and coming. Like we have Devin Monroe at our WrestleMania show. And I think he's going to be the biggest star of 2020. So fuck yeah, I want you on my show. I think wrestling Twitter has actually, surprise, surprise, helped me quite a bit.
Oh,
because
that's nice.
I, yeah, right?
You never hear that. So that makes
I'm glad
happy.
To hear that it was helpful.
Because I know what's on the cusp of what people are talking about. So like in October, Danhausen was supposed to be on our show. And that was before Danhausen really, really went crazy and like got really, really popular. Because I was just like, people, I feel something happening. People keep talking about this person. And I think it's hard to have kind of your fingers on the pulse.
Yeah.
But I think it's easier when you're in these certain kind of pockets of wrestling Twitter to kind of be like, ah, this is what people want in their show. This is something that is a concern for people. These are the things that I can do to better our wrestling show. From what I know, someone else can tell me differently, but we are the only company with three queer people as the owners. So like it's all coming through a lens of a queer woman who knows film and TV. So she runs a production like it's film and TV.
And like
it's
knows very different. Film and TV. Like
yeah.
not even
yeah,
like
that's crazy
it's not like someone
experience.
Who's like, oh I kind of blah, blah, blah. No, like this person like is a monster and a beast at film and TV.
Yeah. And do you have Michael who's actually a wrestler? And then you have me who have my own like kind of niche of things. And I think all three of them work together really, really well. But it is very nerve-wracking coming together with a show. Because the thing is, we just want to put on the funnest show possible. But, you know, then you think about like budgets.
Money is stupid. I need it for goods and services and it makes me mad. But so what are you watching right now? Are you watching WWE or watching AEW? Like, what are you watching and what are you super psyched about?
I actually have not been watching as much WWE and I've only seen one episode of AEW. I've seen a lot of clips. I don't have cable, people. Like, because it's 2020.
Yeah. We've all gone away. It's all gone away.
It's all done.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me that, like, I believe TNT have a stream on Hulu, which I have, but they don't. AEW's not on it. I'm kind of like, well, if it was on it, I'd watch
it. Hulu Live.
Oh, that's so frustrating because, like, I get that you want to get the eyes in so you can get the ratings. I understand, but it's like, so many of your fans are cord cutters. Like, you would get so much more ad revenue if you would, like, even if, okay, air it on, you know, TNT on Wednesday and then do the stream, like, even a week late, I'll still watch it.
I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that as I've gotten older and gotten more, quote unquote, into the wrestling business, I primarily only watch independent wrestling. And I try to get to be able to see it as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, I got to, I went home last month, but I got to, like, watch some Defy. And I was like, oh, it was nice. And it was, like, one of one of their last matches, but Atlas's last matches before he moved on. And I was happy that I got to see that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, and shout out to, I love Progress. I've never not loved Progress Wrestling in the UK. I think they're fantastic. I watch a lot of UK companies. And then major shout out to Riptide Wrestling because not enough people are talking about Riptide. Riptide is unbelievable. Their production value is insane. Tom and Josh do an incredible job. Their entire roster is super diverse. Mm-hmm. Their entire crew is super diverse. I remember Josh messaged me like a year ago because they were coming out with a shirt. And he was like, hey, you know, sorry to bother you. I want you to take a look at this shirt. I just don't want anyone that, you know, because this might seem this way and I just want your opinion. I was like, that means a lot that you're even just asking someone else for their opinion.
Right.
Because you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. I don't know many companies that do that. Riptide has a promotion. I think it's like $7.99. I do have a subscription to them. It's fantastic. Their content is unbelievable. Their champion is queer. Cassius is fantastic. It's the company. People need to watch Riptide. It's amazing.
No, that's great. Okay, so first of all, we normally do this at the end, but I know that you are constantly tweeting about promotions and things that you like. Normally we do like these plugs, but I do want people to hear what your Twitter handle is because I know everyone right now is like, what is he talking about? Where can we find these? And you're always tweeting about them. What is your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at DNLicious. Sorry.
Never apologize. Never apologize.
Sorry, I don't know why it's so funny to me. at DNLicious, one of the main podcasts I do, the Queer Nerd Podcast, is at The Queer Nerd Z, with a Z, because we're hearty boys.
Hearty boys!
I also run the Uncanny Attraction Twitter page as well at uncanny_attract. So if you ever see us interacting with each other, it's totally me just talking to myself.
Well, and also, you've been hitting up, talking about a lot of indie promotions that you like. Are there any other ones that you want to highlight or any other indie wrestlers that people should be knowing about and loving on?
Billy Dixon is always someone I always mention. I think that kid is unbelievable. He's talented, he's smart, and he has a creative drive. He will be coming out with a show in June. Paris is bumping, which is just...
I know. I saw that. Oh, yeah. Straight people that listen to this podcast, and I don't know how many of them there are, but it's a Paris is Burning reference.
It's fantastic. Zoe Lucas is someone who I think is great, based out of Australia. Cassius from the UK, who I mentioned before, who's a Riptide champion. Chuck Mambo is always someone who I love, who's also a UK wrestler. Trisha Adora, who's based from the South, like she has an African aesthetic, and it's absolutely beautiful, and she's amazing. And shout out to Tasha Steeles. She will be signed in 2020, 100%. She is one of the most charismatic women I've ever seen wrestle. She wrestles a lot for Battle Club Pro. I think she just was on NWA, which is pretty exciting. She will be the star to watch in 2020.
I'm super psyched because like a lot of like indie wrestling we don't get to get into as much. And like me and Lindsay watch like everything and everyone.
It's very exciting for
and
us.
I know, we go to as much stuff as we can. So I'm like, tell people what you like. But now we've got to get back.
Mainstream.
Hey, guys. So if you weren't listening for the last 15 minutes because you didn't know the names of the people, you'll know these people's names. So get ready to sigh with despair and frustration while we talk about Monday Night Raw. Because that's how that works.
I will say, no, this last, this last Raw apparently got a lot of people excited. I'm not super one of them. But it did start as a fist fight between the teams of Big Show. I love him and I appreciate him and I'm glad that he's supporting
the boy. I am pleased that he is still well enough to be working and is enjoying his life.
Good for your knees. Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, also known as Team Big Boy, also known as Team Eiffel Tower Danielle, versus the team of AOP. Oh, I've said it on the podcast several times. They know where I stand. Also versus the team of AOP and Seth Rollins. And then this man showed up.
Ready to unleash. Oh, what the heck?
Buddy Murphy!
Here are your winners, AOP and the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins!
The Monday Night Messiah was preaching earlier. Embrace the vision of the Monday Night Messiah was his exact words, King. And it appears...
It appears that Buddy Murphy
has
right.
embraced that vision.
Okay, so I will stay up front. I have been very like, oh, Buddy Murphy was like more than we thought he was. Like, he's very talented. He was very underrated. I haven't been following as much of the main roster. It just doesn't really excite me as much as a lot of other corners of wrestling. I will say I think it's exciting that Buddy Murphy is getting more time, and good for him that he's on Team Seth Rollins because he gets more. But how does everyone else feel?
I felt really... So earlier in the show, he had another match against Aleister Black, which was another fantastic match. The two of them wrestling each other has been a real joy. And something I did not know I needed or wanted.
Right.
Would not have said, who would you like, you know, my favorite professional wrestling cat owner, who would you like to see him wrestle? And I would never have said, my favorite wrestler who co-parents a pig with Alexa Bliss, because I did not think of those two things going together. This is how I feel about wrestlers on the main roster. I judge them by their pets. I'm fine with it. I don't know what their relationship status is, because this is not tapping titles, but maybe one day. But as I understand it, they still co-parent the pig, and I support that.
Yeah.
So, great news. But I didn't know I needed these matches. And then they have been fantastic together. They have genuinely brought these incredible matches. And then when Aleister Black won again, I was really surprised. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess Alice is going to move on to a title reward. Mm-hmm. What will be Buddy's reward for these fantastic matches? To have him just lose all of them, what is his reward going to be?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then this was his reward. And I was like, well, good for you. Because you have put so much work in for so long. You look incredible. He's and got himself
yes,
into this crazy shape.
Yeah, and he's being elevated to working with Seth Rollins, who is arguably...
Who we can only learn amazing things from.
Yeah, arguably like the most... I don't know about over, but the most senior. Like, he is the locker room leader right now. It's very clear. Yeah. What do you think about that, Mitchell? Sorry, I call people by their last names because I was raised in the military.
It's okay. I think Buddy Murphy is fantastic, and I think that I'm very excited that he's actually getting a reward for those incredible matches with Aleister Black. I think that sometimes WWE definitely do kind of throw people aside, but I think they're actually trying to make an effort to find right roles for everybody. He's got to change his whole look, though, because I actually want to see a whole evolution of it, even though I love his theme song. But I want him in suits. I want him in tights that don't have fringe.
Well, I've heard that
so
evolution
much.
Is a mystery. So
some members of my extended family don't believe that's a real thing. So I don't know if they're going to agree with you.
Evolution is a mystery.
Sorry. But it's a great song. It's a great song.
That would kind of make all four of them be different enough, but coherent enough as a cohesive enough as a team to make sense. I would love to see him in the Sort of title range, not the main event title. What's the title on Raw? Oh, I don't even fucking know.
Who even knows which one here? Is where?
Look, one I'm of those other ones. I am deviating from the script right now.
To talk about suits?
Yes.
Excellent. And not Mitchell, the USA show, actual
no,
suits.
No, actual suits. Mitchell, you are a fashion kind of... It's literally your job.
Yeah, Darnell is a hell of a well-dressed man.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much. People, like, they think I'm joking. Like, when I'm just... When they're like, oh, you... Why do you just dress like that? I'm like, I'm literally a stylist. Like, I've literally gone to school for it.
Literally a stylist. Okay, so I want to know which of these fucking black trunk, black shirt boys would you most like to take and fucking fix?
You know what? The first person that came to my head was Cesaro because... Cesaro can actually dress really well.
Yeah.
You know those tearaway, those like tearaway suits that
he was
wearing
for a bit? That was amazing.
Yeah, he made that
himself. Guess who made them?
He made it,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bonkers.
Like, he can sew. And it's, you have this beautiful pepperoni-shaped nipple man who is just unbelievable looking. And I think it's so gorgeous.
And international, and speaks like a million languages.
Yeah. I interviewed him one time and he was wearing a suit and my then boyfriend was with me and he was filming the interview while I just sat and literally melted the chair underneath me. It just melted. And I was like, but I'm in love with him.
My pelvis just shattered.
Break me in two. I'm in love with you.
I'm on the floor.
And
I slid
off my chair.
Because
he's just a beautiful man. And in a suit, that physique, it is so proportional. He just looked, he looked like a movie star.
Oh.
I am just a hole. But like, it is insane to me. What, he's in fucking capris. Like, he has such a... you both saw this so sad.
Because Capri should be forbidden.
He's the most frustrating because he's the one that I know has much better gear options than that. Yolanda, the designer, people might know her from Twitter. Mm-hmm. She actually still designs a lot of his old trunks. And, like, his stuff was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, he hits her up and I just... This is a man that literally looks like Superman. And it's crazy to me because I know he can look better. Yeah. And he has looked better. So it's seeing him regress makes me more mad than seeing, I don't fucking know. Let me think of somebody boring with fucking tights. I don't know. Like, there's so many to choose from.
Anyone on NXT? Oh, no. I do think
it's interesting. This totally off topic and Julian will be despairing.
But no, he's actually doing good. He gave me thumbs up several times for this.
I think it was really interesting on NXT this week that Johnny Gargano is growing some sort of wrestler beard, the long pointy beard. Mm. And my husband is like, why is he doing that? It looks so dumb. I'm like, well, because I guess he has to look different in the ring with Finn somehow. Because they're just two pretty dark-haired boys with great bodies and trunks. So yeah, I'm not going to know who is who.
It's like when the Castros, like the non-running for president Castro, had to grow a beard.
Yeah. I'm married to a twin. One has to have a beard all the time.
Finn Balor is a little bit different than Johnny Gargano because he does have that hog on him.
Oh, Johnny does not point his dick at people because his dick is for one woman, and that is Candace.
I know. And I do feel like I would be able to pick Finn Balor out of any kind of lineup, dressed or otherwise, just from a crotch shot. I would just know. I've spent more time looking at that crotch than like anyone's ever in my life. Like, I'm just
like,
oh, hello.
I used to work at Bloomingdale's, and I was, like, walking around on the floor, and a guy asked me a question. I turned around, I looked at him, I was like, huh, you kind of look like, oh, shit. And then it was Finn.
No!
He was with Kathy Kelly at the time. And then I looked at him, and I said it to his face, and it just came out. And I'm really good. Like, I've, you know, being in my field, I've got to help like A-list stars. I've dressed people for the Grammys, for the Oscars, stuff like that. And like, for some reason, he was one of the few people that had just made a difference in my life.
Yeah.
And I said, holy shit, you're fucking beautiful. he was like, thank you. I was like, I'm going to walk away now.
All right.
I walked away.
So here's my next question. And I'm glad that you brought up award season. One of these days, I truly believe that we are going to get to see at a major awards ceremony, be it the Oscars, the Globes, the BAFTAs, we're going to get to see John Cena. Cena has a suit problem.
And
just
all
the thought of it made me laugh.
How would you fix his suit problem?
I would tell him, all of your suits don't have to be a fucking window pane. Because all of his suits are the same fucking pattern. Even Roman Reigns. I love Roman Reigns to death, but he wears the same fucking blue window pane suit. And it's so fucking annoying.
I believe I have a photo of me with both of them in those suits.
Exactly. I remember that episode of Total Divas where John Cena was like, oh, I just got a bunch of custom suits. I ordered 50 of them, Nikki, as he stares at her condescendingly.
Remember how some of them were shorts? Anyway.
I think if you have, you don't even have to have the money to have like a nice custom suit. You don't have to spend that much money on it. And it's insane to me that they are not tailored well.
No.
He does not go out of his comfort zone. You can wear more than windowpane and more than chalk stripe. I think being as big as he is, he needs to experiment with smaller patterns, like a cute little blue-gray houndstooth suit on him.
Yes, love.
Adorable.
Because he always seems to be making himself look even bigger with his suit.
Yes,
but he does. This is the difference between him and a Cesaro to me, and I'm so sorry for the people that are listening at home and saying wrestling, and I'm like, suits.
No, I think that our fans know that this is what we do.
So, but like, Cesaro, as we said, he's so proportional.
There is no template of a wrestling fan, so y'all are going to enjoy these fashion takes.
Take it.
Yes.
And it's going to help. It's going to help some people, and it's going to entertain others. This is what we're here for.
John Cena shops at 90s Black Man Imperium.
Yes, yes.
And I can't. I'm sorry. Like, you can't.
Oh, my God.
So my best suit story ever is from The Simpsons, when Homer gets the assistant in Homer and Delilah, and Simpson and Delilah, and his assistant is like, let it all hang out. You cover it. And it's like, a suit is supposed to correct and help you look better. John Cena is just like, I already have massive shoulders. Please make my shoulders more massive.
No, he looks, I'm sorry, he looks like Maze bought a suit that Puffy recommended.
And John. Steve Harvey was like, yes, you look great.
Yes,
I love it.
Steve Harvey loved it. Yes.
I don't want to see the fabric of your trousers ripple. Like, I don't want to see a ripple in that pant leg. Like,
you make a good point also about shoulders. Wrestlers need to do this a little bit more. If you're getting custom, or even if you're not getting custom, the shoulders that you want, you do not want a structured suit. You want a more unconstructed suit because of your body shape. You have all of that goodness on top.
Yeah.
Let that natural shape show. Do
Let
a shirt
shine.
Shoulder or soft padding. It's a
this.
Lot more cleaner. It just looks easier.
So before we get on to our main event, is there anything in wrestling that happened? I took us off on a crazy diversion, but it's something that you know a lot about. And our fans know, I wish Mike was here, that we do Fashion Corner quite often. Where we talk about the fashion of wrestlers. Is there anything that happened on AEW, NXT, if anyone's watching the main roster that y'all want to talk about? I would like to talk about Ali's promo.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing, and it felt really modern.
Yeah.
And so that was really good to me.
And it was a nice counterpoint to them just having a model in a bikini.
Oh, AEW allows their women to talk?
Well, when they're on, when the women are on, they are allowed to speak.
They did it.
Yeah. Let me shut the fuck up because they let me have Sunny Kiss.
we love AEW.
We got Nyla and we got Sunny Kiss. And so
you
we're
know,
like,
AEW just got extended through 2023. That's incredible.
That's cute.
Right? Like, it makes it a success, right? That means we finally have a true competitive entity to WWE on our televisions for the foreseeable future. I think that's actually amazing.
Yeah, I do.
So I am so proud of them
for
achieving that.
And I appreciate that, like, things take time to build, and a lot of times people bail on stuff because it doesn't work right away. AEW works, and like, people yell about ratings, but like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't give a shit about ratings.
I don't give a shit about ratings. I want good
It doesn't
wrestling.
Line your pockets. It doesn't make a difference. You don't know what the agreement was with their particular company. USA is more than excited that the third tier WWE shell clears $500,000 guaranteed a week.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
They're very fucking happy with it.
Yeah.
I am particular in terms of, like, I don't like – when everyone says give them a chance, you got six Black people. Like, literally, count them. There's six of them. Mm. We need more. Stop hiring all these random. Who the fuck is Dr. Luther? Like, what the fuck is this? Batman? Like, what is happening?
Oh,
like,
someone hire Batman.
No, I'm very much on team. Like, I'm giving them a chance. It hasn't been a year yet, but like, I'm okay with them making mistakes. They just can't be the same mistakes.
Yes. Exactly. But I also feel that I don't necessarily, I'm not going to give you all day to figure out your women's division, because you figured out your main event division, your tag team division, pretty fucking quickly. Yeah. So if you can do it with that, I know you can do it with women. They're the same, except they're women.
Yes.
I don't need to see Brandi wrestling. I like her a lot.
I love Brandi. I love Brandl with all my heart. I'm really worried about what she's doing with that women's division. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry, you've got so much talent in that ring. I'm looking at Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida, and I'm like, oh my God, just give me this all day long. And instead I'm seeing some bizarre secondhand straight edge society bullshit with a little bit of lucha mixed in. And
see,
I'm like,
I like it,
don't...
but it doesn't work without awesome. Like, it doesn't work without
Kong. It doesn't
work
without Kong. And you already have Dark Order doing the same thing. You already have Jericho and the Inner Circle doing the same thing. It's not good enough.
A lot of bad guys.
I'm sorry. Like, the women's division is not good enough. It's not.
And we don't give enough credit to, I'm actually going to give credit to WWE for something. We don't realize how good certain people are at certain roles. Mm. And I mean that in a way, offset. R-Truth, for example. R-Truth is fucking fantastic.
Yes.
When
you go to a live event, he gets the crowd hype, and he will get that crowd hype than 95% of the indie wrestlers that you love on the independents, because there is nothing to compare against someone that has been on that level for so long. Brandi, I really enjoy her. You are not Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon can control a crowd.
Well, because
like
she's been
nobody's
doing it
business.
Since we were children. And also,
so don't
since she was children.
Good point on R-Truth. We actually have a clip that I think helps to elevate how good R-Truth is.
But I know you will go flying over that top rope, Paul Heyman.
Oh, Heyman?
I'm not in the Royal Rumble match. You step into the Royal Rumble match, you're going face to face with Brock Lesnar. My bad. For the first time ever, the 24/7, 48/7, 7-Eleven, I-95 South, and Kentucky European TV Champion is officially undeclaring the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, so this was pretty amazing. And also, I do want to give a quick shout out my wife. I've been talking about her for years. I am in love with everything. Mercedes Martinez was finally signed somewhere.
Yay. Oh my God.
I can't
That's
handle
so happy.
It. I'm so fucking happy. Literally, with their signing of Sarah Del Rey as trainer, this is one of those things where I'm like, this is a revolution in the fucking women's division.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good week for WWE to get Jake Atlas and Mercedes Martinez in one class. And I'm like, oh, God. Well played, friend.
This shit is gaying up.
Bump. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, I'm just doing the Mercedes Martinez. My arms are open. Like, the... connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram via the links in our show notes. We'll be back to talk about everything that went down this week, including Hulk Hogan Blanchard, up next on Tights and Fights. But don't bump. Let me be happy. Let me be happy. Let me be happy.
Hey, gang. Jesse here, the founder of Maximum Fun, and with me is Stacey Molsky, who is, among other things, the lady who responds to all of your tweets.
Hi, everyone. I also send you newsletters.
So anyway, something really awesome. You, Max Fun listeners, have given us the chance to do something really cool on behalf of our entire community, and we wanted to tell you about it.
Last summer, following the Max Fun Drive, we put all of the enamel pins on sale to $10 and up members, with proceeds going to the National CASA GAL Association for Children.
Your generous support and enthusiasm raised over $100,000. Our bookkeeper, Steph, would be quick to tell me the exact total is $109,025. to be exact.
Your money will go toward pairing kids who've experienced abuse or neglect with court-appointed advocates or guardian ad litem volunteers.
In other words, kids in tough spots will have somebody in their corner. Knowledgeable grown-ups who are on their team through court dates and life upheavals and confusing situations, whatever.
The money we raise together is going to help a lot of kids.
Whether you bought pins or not, you can help us build on that $109,000 foundation. Make a donation to support National CASA GAL and help some of our nation's most vulnerable children at MaximumFund.org/CASA. That's MaximumFund.org/CASA.
And seriously, thank you. Our community rules.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford. I'm joined by
Lindsay Kell.
And
Darnell Mitchell.
Perfect! Oh my God, so few people get that on the, like, just the beat right. That was great. This week, we're giving our attention to one corner of the wrestling world. This is our main event. I sound
bad. Let's get ready to rock! Whoa!
I hate this. Let's keep it short. Tessa Blanchard's one of the biggest names in wrestling right now. She's been champion in WOW, AAA, Rise, and plenty of other places. I know. I loved her. That's why it makes me sad.
I know.
We thought that she was like, I was all fucking in on Tessa Blanchard.
Viola.
I was all fucking in on, like, yes, please, intergender wrestling, make her your champion, Impact, you cowards. And then everything got fucked up, according to a lot of wrestlers, like literally across promotions, across countries. Tessa has a track record of being a bully and a racist. Like, straight up, like, Lady Hulk Hogan shit, like, fucking Moolah shit, like, not great. Well, maybe not quite Moolah, because Moolah also had some, like, sex trafficking stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's called her a pimp yet, but,
yeah,
like,
she's not a pimp.
Let's see what plays out this week, because I feel like they've called her everything else. It's still very early in the day.
And so, whatever it's worth, nothing to me. Well, whatever. Whatever it's worth, Tessa has been like, no, y'all are just jealous. Like, a reality TV show star, like, I didn't come here to make friends. Y'all is jealous. So before we get into this, we were all on board the Tessa train, right?
I was. I for sure. I've always enjoyed her work. I love that she pushes boundaries. I love her look. I watched the match with Sami Callihan. Obviously, it was colored by what happened at that point, but I watched the last match they had together, and I loved it. I loved that match. You do not question that she should be in there.
No.
It doesn't feel like, oh, they're letting this happen. It feels like she belongs in that ring fighting that person.
Especially, like, sometimes it can feel that way,
yeah,
with the second
it's
or third generation
folks. It's
how it's
set up often, the way it is, that it's like, oh, and especially in intergender, where it's like, oh, you kind of know that this is all planned because you know he's not allowed to hurt her. You know he's not going to do this. Those two went to war on each,
yes,
other. And, like, they look like they're genuinely trying to kill each other. But then this happens, and it's so ugly. And for it to happen the way it did, with her sending out a dumb
tweet. She did it. She did it to herself.
Do not tweet saying women should be supporting women instead of trying to knock them down.
If you don't support women.
If you don't support women, because you know what women are gonna do? They're gonna fucking get you.
Whisper Network gets you every time. Mitchell, how did you feel about Tessa before this? Because I heard you do kind of a shallow sigh, not a deep one. But there was a sigh there. How did you feel about Tessa before this?
So this is where it also becomes hard being a promoter, is I'm in a lot of locker rooms. I have a lot of friends who are wrestlers. I hear a lot of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could tell you, well, I'm not going to tell, like, everyone, but, like, there are certain wrestlers who I know are assholes, but they're assholes. They're not, like, those type of people, if that makes any sense.
There's a difference between being an asshole and then,
yeah,
being someone who uses racial slurs and tries to blackball,
yeah,
other people because they want to keep their spot.
Yeah.
Now, I have...
Crabs in a fucking barrel, man.
I've heard from other people about her. Obviously, it was rumored online for quite some time, but I've heard from wrestlers directly who said that she wasn't the nicest. I've had only two interactions with her, but one was we were doing merch next to each other, and her and I were literally singing punk pop songs to each other. She was with Ricochet
cute
at the time, and it was adorable. We had, like, talked, we kikied, it was fine. And then I actually was backstage with her in September for Battle Club Pro, and she was a consummate professional. From what I know, a lot of these interactions were definitely from quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, but I'm going to go back into it. But it's going to be hard for her having that last name, same as Charlotte, for example.
Yeah, right.
Having that last name, because from what I know, there were a lot of people who used her as much as possible to be friends, to elevate themselves, and threw her aside. Mm-hmm. So because of that, she did put up a wall.
Yeah.
And we all put up a wall. I put up a wall. I have defense mechanisms. But you also have to be a fucking adult. You don't have to be friends with everybody. But you don't need to be a complete dick. Just because someone else is a dick to you doesn't mean your response necessarily needs to be a dick to them.
Yeah.
Like, I know heels are heels and heel moves are heel moves. They're on lines. Like, you can't say the N-word to someone and spit on them in the ring if you guys haven't talked about it and if it's not part of a thing. I mean, you shouldn't do it anyway.
No, there's a consent issue there that takes away trust.
Like, the spitting stuff, like, that's something that I think that you discuss. The N-word thing, I think you just don't fucking do because why would you fucking say, why do you want to say that word?
If you can't get heat without using that word...
Go
fuck yourself. Yeah. Like, yeah.
MJF does it every goddamn week.
Yeah. And that would be like me sitting down to write a book, but only not using vowels. I'd be like, I don't know how to do it this any other way. And it'd be like, then you can't do your job. Get the fuck out. Like, if you can't do your job, you can't do your job. And if you need to use that word to get the heat, then you can't do your job.
Mm. Yes. And this is the thing about her that I feel is her internal issue, is that I think that she feels she has definitely been wronged in the business. And I don't disagree with that. I know, like, she's had some really, really rough patches. But because you've had rough patches to get where you are in the business, and now where you are, what you do is don't do what those people did to you beforehand.
Yeah.
You become nicer and you help uplift those young ladies.
Rising tides, man.
And she's not, and she does not do that. And she doesn't recognize that she should be doing that. That tweet of support women, what it should have said is, I know in the past I've had behavior that I am not proud of.
Whew.
And I would like to apologize for that.
Speak a word.
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of all of my behavior, and I want to become a better person, and I want to become a locker room leader. Women, let's strive to support ourselves going into 2020 and support each other.
Because,
that's what you should have fucking said.
Yeah, because what I do, I will say, like, I mean, N-word stuff is, like, kind of, like, really, like, I'm pretty black and white with it. But it's also,
totally.
Like, I do believe that we have to give people room to grow and change, because a lot of this stuff people are learning, they're unlearning their shitty environments. They're unlearning their shitty childhoods. And a lot of it is happening because of social media and because now everyone has a voice, wherein before there were only some people that had voices. So I do believe that people can grow and change. Also, apparently this was like 2 fucking years ago. And, and like, N-word passes, I don't give them. So I do agree with you. Like, it's, if you're going to do that, and be like, hey, I'm about to win the fucking belt. I want to make sure I have support. First of all, don't throw other women in the business under the bus.
Yeah, don't. It wasn't even like, this is a great moment for all of us. Let's all support each other. It was literally like, fuck
support
you guys
me.
For not having supported me.
Yes.
And even then, the sheer overwhelming number of people that came out and said, I got a story.
Everyone across promotions.
And she hasn't acknowledged, all she's acknowledged in her statement is, I do not use that word. I am not a racist. But I'm like, can we just speak for a second?
Girl, that was only 50% of the point.
Yeah, I was like, can we talk about how bullying's not cool? I know your dad is like a legend and you are following in certain footsteps. That doesn't give you the rights to Bella Twins people.
And also,
like, block them, and it doesn't give you the right to treat people like dog shit.
Before we move on to our next segment, there is one thing that I have to fucking say, because it bugged the shit out of me. When a woman does something fucked up and shitty, can we just talk about that and then not make it into a weird slut-shamey bullshit thing?
Please.
Yep.
Like, can we not suddenly be like, she took a shit and recorded it for someone? Maybe she did. I don't know.
Get your coins.
Get your coins.
Yeah, was anybody harmed in the making of that poop? No. I also point you towards the Paige situation that happened this week.
Absolutely.
That her boss made a horrible joke.
For like a million reasons.
And her responding to it, just saying like, well, I guess even my boss doesn't respect me, was to paraphrase. And people jump on her and say, but look at the things you have done. And it's like, what she has done and the dating choices she has made. And that has nothing to do with a boss making
her boyfriend's
a joke
piece of shit,
about you.
But that has nothing to do with her
like,
nudes
I'm sorry.
Being leaked. It has nothing to do with she had a fucking miscarriage. Like, come
imagine
on,
imagine you're
guys.
At work in your company and your boss said something about that about one of your coworkers. Would your immediate response to be like, do you remember when those nudes leaked? No, you would be like, oh my God, that's so unfair. You can't say that. That's not cool. But because she's a public persona, people jumped on it. And people I didn't expect, people I was surprised at, jumped on it and said, yeah, but her boyfriend's a piece of shit. I'm like, so it's okay? It's not okay. It's not okay.
Her boyfriend is a piece of shit.
I tweeted, I was like, her boss is completely unprofessional. Mm-hmm. He should apologize.
If this were a corporation with real HR and a real company, he'd have been fired for that. Mm-hmm. Or at least
he
reprimanded.
And then I said, she is also a person who, for whatever reason, I had no issue with her boyfriend saying homophobic, racist things. But I can still acknowledge that this thing that happened to her was fucked up because I'm able to, I don't know, have two thoughts.
Yeah, like, you can actually parse
like,
things.
Oh my God, you and your crazy multitasking brain.
You can parse things. And like, both things can be true. She can be really fucked up because her boyfriend fucking sucks
but
and she co-signs
not deserve
him.
That. So even like when people are making that post of like, he should be apologetic, there was of course, there's always reply guys. But the response was, I didn't think it was a bad thing. I thought it was just a joke. You should get over it. And then people would be like, you do realize she's had a miscarriage and she said that she can't have children. And then they go, oh, hey, guess what? If you don't fucking know, why don't you just say, hey, why is this sexist? Why is this a problem? Can you explain it to me?
Yes.
And we're glad to do it to you. Don't automatically just think you know what the fuck is going on because you don't. And if you think you know what the fuck is going on, again, you don't. Go sit in the corner. Be quiet and let us educate you.
Thank
it's
you.
All right.
Yes.
So if you've got any thoughts on what we've discussed, on me getting Eiffel Towered, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Not about you being part of the Eiffel Tower, because you're not. via the links in our show notes to keep the conversation going. Again, unless you want to be part of the Eiffel Tower, I'm very specific about who I want it to be. It is just a Joe and a Kevin. And we'll be back after this with three things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kell
and
Darnell Mitchell.
This week, we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is a three count.
One, two, three.
And Darnell, guests go first here. What would you like to put over?
Myself.
yes, please.
Yes, we love it.
Well, obviously, I would put over Uncanny Attractions April 2nd again, 11 p.m. Please make sure you guys go if you can. I would put over Lauren Moran. Oh, I believe that's how you say her last name. Everyone kind of knows her because she did that beautiful Becky Lynch poster, that one that got really over. She did survival shirt.
And then people copied it because they're shitty.
Yep. She did a survival shirt. She's a dear friend of mine who I met at WrestleMania last year. And like, literally, we're having dinner actually on Sunday.
We're
still gonna, yeah. She's fucking amazing. So please support her if you can. Get a commission from her if you can. I also want to shout out to, of course, my producing partner, Envy Young. We actually have an extravaganza. It's called the MV Young, No Rules, No Ring, Fashion Show Extravaganza Deathmatch. It's going to be on February 6th at Our Wicked Lady. So again, No Ring, No Rules. We're going to have a band as well. We have two matches, Billy Dixon versus David Lawless, MV Young versus Casanova Valentine. There will be a fashion show as well. All of the proceeds, I wish I had the charity with me, but all the proceeds will be going to a charity that gives back to trans women of color, which is pretty amazing.
Hell yeah.
And it's hosted by, of course, none other than me. It's my first time emceeing an event. I don't know what I'm going to say.
It's going to be great.
But he was like, it's a fashion show. Why the fuck wouldn't I get you? So that's February 6th, 4 days before my birthday, actually. So please go out and support that as well. Don't forget to follow me at DinoLicious and Uncanny_Attract. And listen to, I'm so sorry.
No, please.
Carry on.
The newest episode of the Queer Nerd Podcast. Our newest episode just dropped this week, and it's with Faye Jackson. It's pretty amazing. She drops a lot of stuff on it. For the first time ever, she talks about leaving Ring of Honor and her issues with several of the women there and the booker there and how that show was run. And she's never talked about it before.
Oh,
and
my God. That's really right now, like, yeah. Super.
I was like, girl, do you want me to cut? you're saying, like, names, girl. Like, is this okay? She's like, no, it's fine. I'm canceling myself in 2020. please go out and check that out. That'd be amazing. And, yeah, cool.
Oh, that's great. Kelk, what are you putting over?
Do you know... I'm going to put over the entire episode of NXT this week.
Very nice.
Because I just had a lovely time watching it. I don't know if anyone noticed, but the women's match was super fun and full of surprise faces, including your wife.
My wife!
You're just gaying it up and making it absolutely magical.
That's what I should have done.
This is what we refer to as big dick energy. In 2020. She has so much of it.
This is going to sound so creepy, but I saw her when she came with Rise. Mm-hmm. And, like, she crashed into a chair, like, on me.
Did you have a moment?
But her hair smells good.
Oh, well,
it's
that's
so
good.
Creepy. It's so
no,
creepy.
No, it's not. It's
I
nice
didn't
when
mean
people
to, like,
smell
her
good.
Hair. It's just, like, she came by me and she had been wrestling.
Yeah,
for,
that's
like,
amazing.
15 minutes.
That just
at that
means
point.
She just smells good.
All right, so for me... I've talked often about sometimes these moments need to be on AEW. They do. These moments need to be on the show. But on Being the Elite this week, it was pretty fucking fantastic. Our perfect lady alien and our perfect dude bro got together in a moment of pure Disney magic when Stratlander and Orange Cassidy, she was trying to figure out what chairs were and how they worked because she's not from our planet.
She's an alien.
She doesn't know. Orange Cassidy put the chair up for her, sat her down with an arm exposed. There's no clip for this because they're who they are. Like, he took her hand, sat her down, and then he fucking booped her. He booped her nose.
There's a boop?
He booped her nose.
There's been a boop in wrestling this week and I missed it? When's that gift? You evil people that you withheld this gift from me.
Yeah, he literally, like... And the whole thing could be gif-able. It happens in like 10 seconds. After he sits her down, so now she knows what a chair is, he boops her nose with his index finger, and then he walks off with his hands in his pockets. And it was fucking perfect.
It's a gift. It's a gift to us all.
And that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Darnell Mitchell and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Danielle Radford. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out. We're so happy that we got to hang out with you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I had a blast. Now I have to, like, go, like, you know, make money and
make
sell
money.
Some more suits, which will be fun. I think your podcast is extremely... I don't listen to a lot of podcasts at all, actually. And you guys are one of the podcasts that I listen to. I think you guys are always really happy. You try to be really positive.
We do try.
I like the dynamic.
We try really hard.
You know, and having any podcast that has, like, women or people of color, like, I'm always down to support just because I think that there's so many narratives, there's so many stories, there's so many opinions that people actually don't get. And instead of talking about, oh, well, we should lift these voices up, whilst they're still talking, I don't think that works that way. I think you lift voices up by having women, by having queer people, by having people of color actually do the damn thing. And I think you guys are a perfect representation of that. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Right back at you.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that anyone needs to plug, Kelk?
I'm on the internet all the time at Lindsay Kelk, where I will happily engage you in conversation about cats, makeup from my podcast, Full Coverage Podcast, which is having a very special guest on the new episode.
I wonder who that is.
It might be you.
Oh, no.
So that will be out next Tuesday. So you can hear Danielle on Full Coverage on Tuesday. But yeah, just come find me at Lindsay Kelt to talk about books and cats and jellicle things.
Books and cats, books and cats, books and cats, and books and cats. We just made a house song. as per usual, watch the Honest Trailers. I wrote the draft of the Honest Trailer this week, which is the Honest Trailer for Bad Boys 1 and 2. I mean, it's like people don't care about Bad Boys 3, whatever, so it's not. But I'm really proud of the trailer. I think it came out really well. So go and watch that. It would mean a lot to me. I'm really proud of it. We had a lot of fun on the Honest Trailer commentary talking about it. So go check that out. Our producer and introducer is the seducer, Julian Burrell. You married. What you doing? Stop throwing your arm game all over this podcast before I go tell your wife.
Job doesn't stop, man. It just doesn't stop.
Our senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. And you can keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those, as you know, are down in the show notes. If you love what we do, and we love that you love what we do, thank you all so much. We couldn't do this weird shit without you. Please, if you get a chance, remember to hit those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, and share us with people that you know and that you love. Again, we sincerely thank you so much. We couldn't do what we do without all of you. And thank you so much to all the Max Fun members who give money to this dumb weird thing that we do. And we appreciate you so much. We have merch. Go look at our merch.
Buy our shirts.
We're a t-shirt company now, as Triple H says. So for all of you who have been we want Tights and Fights merch, we have it. Go buy it. So we will be back next week for, of course, more wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.